course, everything the ego is saying about God and what's happened isn't true, for the ego is about as sane as Caligula Caesar. God would never do anything except love you. It's here that you need to know just a little bit more about how the mind works. Because of the power of the mind, you need to appreciate the power of your belief. It was your belief in the idea that you could be separate from God, and you're taking it seriously, that gave it so much seeming power and realism. As the Course says, freedom from illusions lies only in not believing them. You also have to realize that because you made duality by deciding to be a perceiver, everything you perceive will include characteristics that appear to be the opposite of that which you have apparently separated from. What you have seemingly separated from, heaven, has one set of characteristics, and what you are perceiving as your reality has an opposite set of characteristics. Heaven, although it is beyond all words, has these kinds of characteristics. It is perfect, formless, changeless, abstract, eternal, innocent, whole, abundant, and complete love. It is reality. It is life. God and Christ and Christ's creations are perfect oneness, and there's nothing else. This is the domain of God's will, the knowledge of the Father. To describe the experience of your awareness of this perfect oneness isn't really possible, but I assure you that you will know it when you have a temporary experience of it. It's not quite like anything else you're familiar with. The domain of perception, on the other hand, being heaven's seeming opposite, includes very different characteristics. Keeping in mind that we're still speaking on a metaphysical level here, these attributes include individuality, form, shapes, specifics, changes, time, separation, division, illusion, wishes, scarcity, and death. Well, that's why in the book of Genesis 2:16-17, which comes right out of the writer's unconscious mind, it says, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Good and evil are opposites, and once you have a seeming opposite to heaven, you have death. But as the Course consistently says in 1,000 different ways, beginning right in its introduction, what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Are you starting to get what that means?
Yeah, I think I'm beginning to get the magnitude of it. When is the artist formerly known as Christ going to snap out of his coma so I can get back to the creation orgasm?
That's coming. We still haven't finished telling you about how you appeared to get here. Once you've chosen to listen to the ego's temptations to be a separate individual, your belief in the reality of the separation begins to cause some very serious problems for you. God now seems to be outside of you, and everything you experience tells you that you've separated yourself from Him. That's a problem you still have this very second, even though it's unconscious to you. Practically all of your mind is unconscious to you, just like almost all of an iceberg is underneath the surface of the water. As long as you believe in the reality of the physical universe, Gary, then everything you perceive will be a constant, unconscious reminder to you that you've committed the act of separating yourself from God. And as you'll see, that's a very important point.
Getting back to our little miscreation extravaganza, the ego voice in your mind has told you some things about your condition and also about God that simply aren't true. You've bought it partly because you like the idea of being an individual with a seemingly separate will, even though that's not really possible. By taking the separation and the ego's voice seriously, that translates within your seemingly separated mind as a sin against God. Now, if you've sinned, that means you're guilty, and on this metaphysical level you feel it, even though on the level of the world you will not always feel it. Being the guilty bastard you think you are, it means you think you're going to be punished big time. Even on the level of this world, a psychologist would explain to you that guilt unconsciously demands punishment, and if you really think about it, it will explain a lot. On the metaphysical level, we're talking about how you sincerely believe that you're about to be attacked and punished by God Himself. The anticipation of this fate-worse-than-death kind of punishment from God creates fear, a fear so terrible you can't even comprehend it. Yet you've been running away from it for what seems like billions of years. So now we're at a point where we can tell you why your universe, your world, and your body were made by the mind in the first place. They were really all made simultaneously, even though in a linear dream, things seem to happen separately. There is no other spiritual discipline that understands and explains the motivation behind the making of this world, the same motivation that runs it today. That motivation is fear, always ultimately traceable to the fear of God. The transtemporal, non-spatial, seemingly separated mind is in a paralyzing state of fear because of a punishment you believe is coming from God. So the ego convinces you that you need a defense, without bothering to mention that the defense it offers is designed to ensure its own survival through your individuality. In fact, if you look at the last four syllables of the word individuality, you will see that they spell duality. That's not just a semantic accident. The ego's voice speaks to you as though it's your friend and is watching out for your best interests. You'll recall we've already said the ego has convinced you that God is going to get you, and you'd better run for it to a place where you'll be safe. That place is this universe. As far as the ego is concerned, the best defense is a good offense. In fact, defense and offense are two sides of the same coin. In discussing how some of these concepts relate to each other, the Course teaches, the ego is the part of the mind that believes in division. How could part of God detach itself without believing it is attacking him? We spoke before of the authority problem as based on the concept of usurping God's power. The ego believes that this is what you did because it believes that it is you. If you identify with the ego, you must perceive yourself as guilty. Whenever you respond to your ego, you will experience guilt and you will fear punishment. The ego is quite literally a fearful thought. However ridiculous the idea of attacking God may be to the sane mind, never forget that the ego is not sane. It represents a delusional system and speaks for it. Listening to the ego's voice means that you believe it is possible to attack God and that a part of him has been torn away by you. Fear of retaliation from without follows because the severity of the guilt is so acute that it must be projected. So, believing that the separation has actually happened, and given your fear of God's punishment and retaliation that you desperately think you need to defend yourself against, you've already developed, by listening to the ego, a thought system that says you've sinned, you're guilty, and God's inevitable punishment requires a defense. You feel completely vulnerable, and the ego has told you it has an idea, a place you can go where God will never be able to find you. In your confused state, you are now a follower of the ego instead of God's will, and you listen to the ego's brilliant but twisted idea to make you safe from that which you no longer remember is actually your own true reality, but which you now live in mortal fear of instead. So now the instant has finally arrived in our spectacular review, where the ego is about to give you its grand answer to your nightmarish but imagined predicament. The awesome magnitude of the painful shame and acute guilt in your mind, resulting from what you believe you've done, appear to require an immediate and complete escape. So you join with the ego. And then the incomprehensible power of your mind to make illusions as a perceiver rather than make spirit as a creator causes the method of your escape to become manifest. At this point, the ego, which you are now totally identified with, uses the ingenious but illusory method of projection to hurl the thought of separation out of your mind, and you, or at least the part of you that seems to have a consciousness, appears to be projected right along with it. This instantly causes what is popularly referred to as the Big Bang, or the creation of the universe. Now you appear to be in the universe, while you do not realize that you are actually, quite literally, out of your mind. Now the enemy you live in terror of, God, no longer seems to be in the mind with you, where you thought you wouldn't have had a chance against him. Instead, God, and for that matter everything else, is now apparently completely outside of you. The source of your problems, including your guilt, are now someplace else, even though we've already made it clear that there can't possibly be any place else. The making of the cosmos is your protection from God, your ingenious hiding place. At the same time, the universe itself becomes the ultimate scapegoat.